It's never too late. Yes, it's never too late. And to prove it, here are Avis Bunnage, Megs Jenkins, Joe Gladwin, Kenneth Connor, Alexander John, and, as the redoubtable Hilda, Thora Heard. Hilda Springett believes that old age is a state of mind, and she doesn't want her mind getting in a state or her friends' minds. So she's organising a group holiday for local senior citizens, amongst other things.
Oh, Hilda, I thought you'd be up at the,
Well, I usually am by this time, but I'm waiting for Mildred. She said she'd come today. You can come as well, Emily. It's a lovely day. We'll take some sandwiches and have a picnic.
Oh, no, Hilda, you know I don't like cemeteries.
Nonsense. One of these days you'll spend a lot of time up there. But just now the fresh air would do you good. That cemetery's the healthiest place in town.
I like to think of people as they were when they were living.
Sad thing is, you can't always tell the difference. Look, where is she? Only Mildred could be late for a cemetery. Why has she suddenly decided to come this week?
I don't know.
Well, while we're gone, you can think about where this holiday's to be. I mean, yesterday's meeting got us nowhere. It took you all 3 hours to decide where not to go.
That's a start, Hilda.
Is it?
Well, when you think of it, there's only one place we're going to, so we're not going to lots of places.
Thank you. Very helpful.
I'm sorry, Hilda. It was your idea of going abroad. The rest of them didn't really want to.
I didn't say abroad. I just said we weren't going in this country.
I didn't fancy abroad, you see. When Harold was alive, it was different, but I think if we'd had money, he'd have liked to travel.
Your Harold? He found it an effort to cross the rug and switch off the telly. Harold's dream was a set with remote controls. He was ahead of his time, I'll grant him that.
Well, it's true, he didn't like to get overtired. But he enjoyed the travel programmes and the exploring.
Exploring? Oh, if it had been left to Harold, we wouldn't have discovered Birmingham, let alone America. Well, now you've all voted against abroad, you'd better think where we are going.
I will, Hilda.
At present, there's 30 folk paying us £1.70 a week to go nowhere. And even at today's prices, that's expensive.
Oh, Hilda, am I late?
Only 20 minutes. By your standard, that's early, Mildred.
I ran into Tommy Preston.
Oh, did you hurt him?
No, he bounced. He said there was something urgent, but he wouldn't tell me what. Silly old... He said he'd talk to Chairwoman Hilda and no one else.
Well, they'll have to wait. It's a long walk, Mildred, and we are late. Emily, would you like me to put some of these dahlias on your Harold's grave?
Oh, no, thanks. Flowers gave him hay fever.
Well, I expect he's over it by now. You be thinking of a holiday place. And be bold, Emily. You've thrown out my idea, so let's hear yours. Now, come on, Mildred.
Come in. Don't decide where to go, Emily, yet. I've got something important to say.
Mildred, come on.
Right. I've got to talk it over with my husbands first.
But your husbands are dead. All three of them.
Of course they are, or I wouldn't have buried them, would I? That's why I'm going up to the cemetery with Hilda. Oh, it's a long climb, Hilda.
Yes. I'm not surprised most folks only come here just the once.
It's a wonderful view. I hope my husbands appreciate it. It's funny to think of them side by side like this for nearly 20 years and they never met.
I've known neighbours not speak for longer.
Still, it means I can talk to them all at once.
Look, just what have you come for, Mildred? It's a long time since you were up here.
I'll tell you when I'm sure, Hilda. I know you don't believe in fate. You know, destiny.
Oh, it's fate again, is it?
It's just... Some things have to be, Hilda. They just have to.
I believe in folk doing things for themselves. like you've done all your life. Well, I'll put these flowers on Cyril's grave. So you have your little chat, Mildred, but don't keep them long. We're running late.
Right. I hope you're all keeping well. You know, we're going on this holiday, about 30 of us. Oh, I brought you some flowers. I hope you like chrysanthemums. There's 3 each. There. You see, what I want to talk about is this horoscope. Don't be afraid of travelling down memory lane, returning to a place which meant much happiness to you and someone else. Well, I was happy with all of you, wasn't I? So I'm wondering where it means.
Dahlias this week, Cyril. Cheaper, special offer. You were a good man, Cyril Spriggott.
Aye, that's true.
Hello, Sam.
Oh, you don't frighten like the others, Hilda.
I don't do much like the others, Sam Higgins. And you do try the same thing every week.
Well, it's the one way I get a bit of fun, you know. There ain't much life up here.
I don't blame you, Sam. Not enough folk make the effort to get fun out of life. And if you can do it working here, they've got no excuse.
Hey, Friday mornings wouldn't be the same without you. I'll be sorry when you've gone. Even if it does mean you'll be up here full time.
Thanks very much.
You're a tonic, Hilda.
And no prescription charge.
Hey, isn't that Mildred Emmett?
It is.
Now, she's been talking to herself. You know, being up here affects some folk like that.
She's been talking to her husbands. I doubt if they've listened. They never used to.
It's Weston-super-Mare, Hilda.
What is?
Where we've got to go on holiday.
Got to?
I thought it was. I just wanted to be sure.
Weston-super-Mare. Is that fate poking its nose in again?
It is.
Listen, Mildred. Fate gets its way over my dead body.
You're in the right place for that.
Now then, Tommy Preston, Mildred says you've urgent news. You're looking a bit pale today.
Shall I tell you what's wrong with me?
No. Let's look at what's right with you. There's too many folks ready to trot out their ailments, like morbid parrots. And too many ready to encourage them. I know all about your rheumatism and your liver, Tommy. So what's urgent?
I had a dropout last night. I'd just gone to bed.
A dropout? You did?
Aye, me. Well, us. You've had one as well.
Two dropouts?
No, just one, the same one.
And I've had one without knowing it.
How could you know it till I told you?
Then tell me. I'd like to know it's you that's cracking up and not me.
Alf Howarth was round here last night. He's not going on the holiday and he wants his money back. He's a dropout. What do you say to that?
Not going? There's no dropping out of my holiday. I invited Alf Howarth. Invited, mind, because I knew he'd been on his own this last 12 months.
What happens if they all drop out? You can't force them. You'll end up going by yourself.
Ah, well, that's the one person I can depend on. Was there anything wrong with him?
He was a bit upset. In fact, he's been sort of quiet for a week or two. He said he was sorry.
Well, if he isn't now, he will be. Look, when I've seen Emily, we'll go round to Alf's and have it out. There's 3 reasons why folks drop out of my holiday. They die. That's the best excuse. They go mad. Or I drop them out. And I hope for his sake he's gone mad.
The horoscope said, don't be afraid of travelling down memory lane. And my husband's agreed with me. It's got to be Weston-super-Mare.
How did they, agree with you?
Well, they didn't speak, if that's what you mean. They never said much when they were alive. They won't change now. It was the silence, the sense of harmony. It's Weston Supermare. Hilda's got to be made to see it.
I'd rather starve for a month than try and make Hilda go where she doesn't want to.
We've got to bring Hilda round, but don't make it obvious. Box clever.
What? Alf Howarth's dropped out. Has he hurt himself?
He doesn't want to go on the holiday with us. But he's going to change his mind again. And today. Now then, did you have any ideas about where we should go, Emily?
Well, I thought of Weston Supermare.
Emily. I see fate's had a busy morning, Mildred.
I only mentioned it.
Well, that's like a drunk driver saying, I only ran over his leg. Besides, it's not your way, Mildred, to only do things. You usually put your heart, soul and 14 stones into it.
13 stones?
Well, and why Weston Supermare, anyway?
The horoscope said go to a place that meant much happiness to you and someone else.
Well, the way you carried on in your youth, that could be anywhere from Rochdale bus station to under the pier at Blackpool.
Which pier?
All three at different times. Or it could be Bloggs Yard behind the old gasworks. Shall we take a coachload of people there for a fortnight's holiday?
Oh, you're being a bit hard on her, Hilda.
I'm not, you know. Whoever thought permissiveness began in the 60s didn't know Mildred in her 20s. Without her pioneer work, Mary Quant would still be behind a counter in Woolworths.
We should go to Weston Supermare, Hilda.
Well, I'm going round to Alf Howarth's. And while I'm gone, please think, both of you. I want your own ideas, not fate's. This is going to be a holiday to remember, if it kills us all. Oh, lift doesn't work.
Emergency stop button's pressed in.
Well, they're all pressed in. I wonder how long the emergency's been on. Oh, and Alf Howarth lives on the 5th floor. How does he manage? Look, you'd better wait here, Tommy.
I couldn't get up there, I'm telling you.
It's not me you've got to convince. It's your rheumatism.
Just look after yourself.
Oh, come on, then. You've got the right spirit, Tommy Preston. I'm not sure about your leg muscles. Look, and I'm not going to end up carrying you.
Can you lift him by the other arm, Hilda? Well,
just let me get my breath back, Alf. Oh, my body's got here, but my wind's still 2 floors down. What are the lifts for in this building? Laundry chutes? Wilkinson's Heights. It should be Wuthering Heights. Don't the lifts ever work?
Oh, they never seem to. Only way to use them is prise the doors open and throw yourself down the shaft. You know, the housing department never seems to get them going.
I'll get them going. Oh,
do you know engineering, Hilda?
No, but I know what makes folks tick. And whoever's responsible for these lifts needs winding up.
I did it!
Oh, ready with him, Alf. Into this chair. Yes, you did it, we heard. We'll take you to the surgery tonight and find out just what it is you've done. I told you to wait on the ground. Why'd you have to climb all those stairs?
Because they were there.
You're a silly man, Tommy Preston. Are you feeling better?
I don't know. I expect everything's there and working. I just can't feel it yet.
However do you manage, Alf?
I do it in stages, you know. Camp 1 on the 2nd floor. Mrs. Davis generally has a cup of tea for me. Camp 2 on the 4th, Freddie Miller.
What do you get there? A heart transplant?
We help one another. You know, you get used to it.
You shouldn't have to get used to it. How many councillors live on the 5th floor of Wilkinson's Heights? If they did, they'd have no hot air left for council meetings.
Well, you won't get far with them, Mildred. It's the system you're up against.
Well, the system will be up against me. Now, Alf Howarth, I didn't climb up here just as an endurance test.
No. I know why I've come. Didn't Tommy tell you? I said I was sorry.
Sorry's not good enough. Sorry needs a reason.
Oh.
Are you all right, Tommy?
It's just the feeling coming back up my left leg.
We haven't seen much of you this last few months, Alf. You have been getting on all right, by yourself.
Well, I know the place isn't as tidy as Ada used to keep it. She was a grand housekeeper. Always kept me on the move from one chair to another.
Never mind the place. It's you I'm interested in. Are you all right?
Aye, pretty fair.
Come and look, Hilda. You've got a grand view, Alf. Hey, on a clear day, I'll bet you can see the ground.
Well, I don't look up much now.
Are you going to tell me, Alf Howarth?
What?
Whatever it is you haven't told me.
That's Emily and Mildred down there. For me, Emily looks like a little red flea, and Mildred a big yellow cockroach.
My speciality is squeezing blood out of stones, Alf.
I know you're a good squeezer, Hilda.
It's not the squeeze. Most stones aren't as hard as they think they are. Now, I'm not leaving till I know why you're backing out of this holiday, so you might as well offer us some tea and biscuits.
I feel I could just step out and squash them.
Do be quiet, Tommy. Oh, don't lean out, or you'll get down a lot quicker than you came up.
Well, I'd like to offer you something, but I haven't got much in now. I shop tomorrow.
Not much in? Tea and biscuits? You wait there. I'll look for myself.
No, don't go in the kitchen, Hilda.
How long's it been like this?
Well, it's...
It's water, Alf, running down your kitchen wall. Not even into the sink.
Well, I wouldn't say water, Hilda.
What is it, then? Gin? You'd think on the fifth floor you'd be safe from flood.
It's a bit damp, that's all.
There's moss growing up there. It's a water garden, Alf. Oh, look, we'll get the housing department onto this. Have you told them?
I wrote them a letter some time back. Look, I'll not beg, and I won't live in this state. I'll have it done myself once I've got some money together.
So that's it. You cancel your holiday, stop eating. Well, you might as well be where I was this morning, the cemetery. They don't complain either. I don't know. Why are folks so daft? Last month, there was Mrs. Johnson. Now, she got a gas bill for £650.
What did she do?
Well, the silly woman was going to try and pay it off. I told her. I said, for that amount, I'd have expected half a share in a North Sea gas field.
Well, was it wrong, Gilda?
I'll say. When I checked up, it was the wrong amount, the wrong address, and the wrong name. It wasn't for Mrs. Johnson. It was for a Mrs. Jackson. Right, Alf. Now, I'm off to the council to sort out your problem.
Hey, there she is. We couldn't get up, Gilda. We couldn't make the lift work.
It'd take a miracle to do that, Mildred. And God doesn't work for the housing department. There's too much self-respect. When he was building, he only took Sundays off.
How is Alf? Has he changed his mind?
He has. But don't tell him, because he doesn't know yet. Well, I'm on the warpath. There's a smug little man in the town hall sipping coffee and nibbling his rich tea. I'm about to give him indigestion.
I've always preferred thin arrowroot. Except when you dip them in your tea, it breaks up.
Luke, we're all entitled to say where we go on holiday. We've decided on another vote, a referendum.
I don't like referendums. Look where the last one got us. Into the common market.
I voted to stay in.
And what have you got against Cox's, Emily?
We've had one vote. Haven't we? We've had one vote, not to go abroad. You agreed to that, Hilda. You said it was democratic.
Cox's, Hilda?
You can go off democracy. You can go off democracy easily, Mildred.
But do you think everyone should have a chance to say where they want to go?
Well,
Yes. Well, as you're busy, I'll go round to everyone and see what they think.
But, Mildred...
I'll see you later with a decision. I hope you get your man with the rich tea.
Mildred means well, Hilda.
Well, I know she does, love. But I don't think she's heard of the secret ballot.
It's French Golden Delicious I don't like. They've got no taste.
I've made it. Up Everest and down again in one day. I didn't think I had it in me. Of course, I've used it all up now.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Come in, please. I'm Mr. Hudson, housing maintenance manager, and you are...
A well-wisher.
Oh! Well, that makes a nice change. People really appreciate what we do.
You probably don't do enough. It's not you I'm wishing well. I'm here on behalf of one of your prisoners.
Prisoners?
He has a fifth-floor cell in your maximum security prison, Wilkinson's Heights. Mr. Alfred Howarth.
Mr. Howarth, you see, I'm afraid I don't know the name.
He's been paying your rent for 30 years. I assume you got the money.
We have 8,000 tenants in the town.
Yeah, well, don't let your coffee get cold.
What? Oh, no.
No rich tea?
No, I prefer thin arrowroot.
Thinner?
Yeah. Can I offer you a cup of coffee, Mrs...
Yes, you can.
Ah, good.
But I won't take it. I'm trying to keep the rates down.
Pity it's one of the things we do best.
Have you taken the trouble to see Wilkinson's Heights lately?
We try to make periodic inspections of all our properties.
You do?
Yes, department staff.
I mean you, in person. Not one of your office robots. I've seen more red blood in a ballpoint pen. Wilkinson's Heights is a disgrace. Littered with rubbish, walls defaced. You stick pensioners on the fifth and sixth floors, then sabotage the lifts. Is it to keep them off the streets? Out of sight? Out of mind?
Certainly not, Mrs...
Mr. Howarth grows moss on his kitchen walls. I expect you've got rules about indoor plants.
Oh, no, we try not to interfere with hobbies. Well, if Mr. Howarth has a legitimate problem, he should bring it to our attention. I employ carpenters, plumbers, blasterers. No mind readers.
Mr. Howarth did. He wrote, and then he waited.
If he received no reply, he should have sent a reminder.
Mr. Howarth has enough pride and independence not to go down on his knees and beg.
Well, he can write again. But I'll tell you something that'll save you both a great deal of time and trouble.
Good.
There's nothing I can do.
Oh.
But we just haven't got the money, even for priority jobs.
They tried the same smoke screen at the gas board when I went about Mrs. Johnson's bill. If it wasn't written up outside, I bet they'd have denied selling gas. Another pensioner, you see.
Mrs. Johnson?
You all make the same mistake, thinking pensioners are still alive.
Mrs. Winnie Johnson?
Yes?
But Mrs. Johnson's my aunt. I heard all about that gas bill. It made me furious, sending a bill like that to an old lady. Bureaucrats.
Thoughtless.
Insensitive.
Desk-bound.
Cut off. These faceless idiots sit in their offices, never consider the effect on old folk living living alone. Do they?
Some don't. Do they?
You wouldn't be Mrs. Springett.
I certainly would.
Oh, she told me about you. You've done wonders for Aunt Winnie, especially this holiday of yours she's going on. She talks about nothing else. It's given her a new lease of life. Luke, you can see I'm swamped, but I'll get someone over to Wilkinson Heights if I have to get the mayor into overalls. Where's the holiday to be?
Well, that's not decided yet, but we've got fate working on it. Helped by Mildred Emmett. Where does it hurt, Tommy?
The quicker to tell you where it doesn't.
Well, where doesn't it?
Nowhere.
Mildred meant well, Hilda.
I've got nothing against Mildred, Emily. Or Weston Supermare. Though it wouldn't be first choice. I have got something against superstition.
Oh.
Sorry, Tommy, what was that?
I said, oh.
I will not be told where to go on holiday by Mildred's horoscopes.
There was the vote, Hilda.
Oh, yes. Mildred Emmett, champion of democracy. Well, that's like having Dr. Crippen as marriage guidance counsellor. Tell me the result again. Mildred visited all the 30 folks who were coming on the holiday.
And 29 voted for Weston Supermare. There was one don't know.
Well, that don't know should have a medal for bravery.
It was old Mrs. Jenkins. She's deaf.
Oh.
Why don't you go up to bed, Tommy? I'll get you a hot water bottle. You can have the paper and I'll make you a nice hot drink. What do you say?
No, no, no. And yes.
What?
I'm not going to bed. I don't want a hot water bottle. I've read the paper, but I'll have a drink.
Referendum, indeed. Of course, it'll have to be done again.
Hello, Hilda.
Oh, Dr. Mildred Gallup. I'll show some enthusiasm, at least.
What about?
What about? Horoscope 1, Hilda Spriggett 0. Foul in extra time.
I made a mistake. It wasn't Weston Supermare. I had a good time.
No.
It was Skegness.
You are a daft ape.
We'll want another vote, won't we?
I don't know. Maybe we've got our result already.
What is it, Hilda?
Match abandoned. Fate stopped play.
Cora Hurd, Avis Bunnage and Meg Jenkins have been proving that it's never too late in the company of Joe Gladwin, Kenneth Connor and Alexander John. The programme was written by Terry Gregson and produced by Edward Taylor.